Hello, and a warm welcome to the Reform Party podcast. Today I've got a returning guest, Mr. Nick Goulding, and I've asked Nick along today for a special reason because he has a certain expertise for the subject that I want to discuss. Because in the last week I've been very angered by what's happened in terms of the reports that have come out from what Starmer did in order to pave the way for our servicemen to be prosecuted. Nick, welcome.
Good morning to you.
And as I said, you have a certain expertise in this subject, haven't you? Because you were actually posted in Baghdad.
Well, I wouldn't say expertise, but I would say that I have an animus with it. And I feel the sense of betrayal which soldiers and airmen felt when these sort of court cases were going through. I mean, Shiner was a reprehensible individual who should have gone to jail, but equally, in fact, even more, the people who created the system, both the Blair government and the subsequent Tory governments, although that followed on a bit later, should be held to task. And in my opinion, not only the politicians, but also the officials at all levels, both in uniform and out of uniform. So although it was clear to me that the senior officers in theatre with the soldiers really did want to have their backs and were right behind them, and I suspect in their hearts are like that, too often when people are sucked into the system, they haven't been prepared to stand out to this sort of situation in a way that previous generations of senior officers would have done. And so, although they're not directly culpable by commission, I do think that within the uniformed senior ranks, there is some culpability by omission that they continued in their posts when they knew that things were going on in terms of the way the legal process was pursuing soldiers and members of the special forces in a way that was not only detrimental to morale and the interests of the UK, but morally reprehensible. And yet they did nothing that was public. They may have been arguing behind the scenes, but ultimately, when those arguments carry on for years and are failing, people should have been prepared to step forward and put their pensions at risk as the soldiers put their lives at risk.
Absolutely. And I think you would agree with me that now their pensions should be at risk because if they have neglected their duty, as you've said, then we shouldn't be paying them pensions.
Yes, and I include in that the pensions of previous senior politicians, but senior officials certainly should be part of the firing line with that. I mean, I have to say that just crying about it from the outside will not achieve anything. We've seen that over the last 20 or 30 years as we've had slippage on this whole area. Brexit has actually freed us up. If the government has a degree of moral fibre, which seems to be absent and has been absent for some time. But we could withdraw from the various international conventions which are said to tie our hands, and in fact, in my opinion, should have withdrawn from those conventions. And then we should have a more proactive effort to show that embedded in law, as in fact used to be the case, that as long as they stay within the bounds of military discipline, then soldiers should have confidence that the system will back them. The British Army has always had standards which they apply, and soldiers have been prosecuted for murder in various conflicts, including the various wars after the Second World War, the Second World War, and at previous times when soldiers have used an excessive force that was clearly outside the military rules. But those were rules that were explained to them at the time and that they were aware of. And they're being judged by their peers, by other people who have shared the same danger, and so on. And it's one of the things that really galls is that people sitting safely back in London are pursuing people and second guessing decisions made under conditions of extreme stress when that individual's life is also at line on the line, and not only their life, but the lives of their colleagues who they
Colleagues,
have
yeah,
a duty to
absolutely.
protect.
And then having done that and having had the action, you get an individual like Shriner who comes along and creates all sorts of narratives and lies about these people in order to prosecute them and in order to get money from the state system in terms of legal aid for themselves.
Yes, and although I have no truck with Shiner, and in fact think he should have spent time in jail for what he did, I actually have far more concern over the people who were responsible for creating the conditions under which he was able to operate, not taking action to stop that, and having put the rules in place in the first place, and accepting the reality of the legal arrangements that then curtailed.
And tell me, would you count Keir Starmer and Lord Hermer in amongst those?
I certainly would. Starmer was obviously trying to make a buck through it, and you could say that with our tradition, barristers have to represent blah, blah, blah. But actually, I think that you put yourself where you want to be, and
Well,
so he can't sidestep.
Starmer took it on pro bono. He did it because he wanted to do it, because he believed in it.
Yeah. And Hermer, though, I think is even worse than Starmer, in my opinion. The difference is that Starmer is in a position as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom where he needs to be held to account to a higher standard than other people. And in my humble opinion, he has fallen woefully short in this regard, as I'm afraid to say, in many others.
Indeed. Okay, look, thanks very much indeed for that. I know this was short notice today, Nick, but I appreciate you coming on. Whether or not they'll seek get justice in this world, and as I say, I did half see somebody half jokingly suggest that we invoke the Treason Act of 1351 to take care of them. But whether they get it in this world, they'll certainly get it in the next, in my view.
Well, I'm hoping that they will get some redress after the next general election when electing a Reform UK government will be the essential step to creating the conditions in which we can regain control of our law and ensure that they're structured in a way that this sort of thing isn't able to repeat, and that those people who wish to undermine our armed forces find that they are the ones that are subject to the strictures of the law and feel the weight not only of the law, but of public disgust at their behaviour. And I know that the body of people who make up the members and candidates for Reform UK, which are very much following in the steps of their previous guys as the Brexit Party, which you'll see some retro signs behind me, always living in the past, of course. But when I was a candidate in the 2019 general election, when we had an assembly of the 400 or 500 then selected prospective parliamentary candidates up in London, when they'd stopped speaking at the top table, we had an opportunity to raise questions. And I stood up and made a number of forceful points on the importance of the party standing up for the soldiers who were being prosecuted for actions in Northern Ireland decades before. And the thing that gave me real hope from that was the way in which that intervention delivered a rapturous response from the audience who were entirely behind it. And so I think anyone looking at our politics now needs to understand that revenge is a dish best served cold. And the first step to serving that dish is to get a Reform UK government elected. And that is what I am doing to try to support in order to restore common sense to the way in which our country is governed. And that includes defending the rights and indeed standing behind in a solid way the members of our armed forces as they go around their duties.
Great. Thanks very much indeed again, Nick, for coming on at such short notice. I appreciate it very much. Bye now.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye, bye-bye.